It's time for the quick take on Money Life. This is where we delve in a little bit deeper, but still do it quickly, on something that I think you can learn from. And there was a great piece out in August from Verus Investments titled Thinking About Inflation in Risk Terms. And we talk all the time on the show about inflation, but we don't talk about it in terms of risk. We talk about it in terms of what does it mean for fixed income? What does it mean for your portfolio and more, but without kind of delving in on the risk side. And that's what I wanted to do here. Joining me now, Danny Sullivan. He is director of risk for Verus Investments. If you want to learn more, it's verusinvestments.com. And you can go looking for Thinking About Inflation in Risk Terms there. Danny Sullivan, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. It is great to be with you.
This piece, what I liked about it is, like I said, I think we look at inflation every way but in terms of what it really means for risk right now. So help my audience understand, because I think they think of inflation really more as like, what does this mean for purchasing power? But it's a much broader risk concept than that, isn't it?
Yeah. So the way we tried to approach this issue was really understanding how inflation within the last three decades has really impacted the way that people are constructing portfolios. And one of the things we did was really look back as far as we could through history to understand what the environment of, you know, the last 2 to 3 decades looks like relative to the environment, 100 years ago or so. And so just by having that perspective and by looking back as far as we could possible, we gleaned some pretty interesting insights from the data that we looked at.
In terms of different types of inflation, one of the things that you talked about in this piece is what you call cost push inflation and demand pull inflation. So help my audience understand, because I don't think we normally drill down to the differences within inflation.
Sure. So cost push is really when companies are increasing prices, right? And they're doing that to maintain profit margins due to their rising costs that they get from their inputs, right? So that's cost push inflation. Demand pull is really when you have too much money chasing too few goods. So when the supply of dollars is exceeding the demand, then the purchasing power of your dollar falls, right?
And right now, what we also have is an environment where we think of it currently as all inflation all the time, because that's been the headline. We keep hearing talk from the Fed about, you know, we think inflation is transitory and what have you. But there's actually also some deflationary pressure. So how does that play out? Does that mean that whatever inflation we're seeing, if it's transitory, is just going to be a round trip? In other words, hey, we'll have 5% inflation for right now. We'll work out the supply chain problems. And then it's deflation to get back to where it was before?
Yeah, I think from our perspective, we're not making a call on exactly where inflation will be. But just understanding the different drivers of inflation and deflation. So why has inflation remained low in the U.S. for the past few decades? It's really due to inflation targeting from the Fed, right? So they have a stated target of 2%. So they're ensuring that inflation stays around that level. The rapid increase in globalization, right? So more countries producing more goods that are shared across the globe makes things cheaper. And then you have just the advancement in technology and automation, which is keeping the price of goods lower. So those are the forces that cause deflation. And, you know, when we look back at the inflationary periods, I think we see some reasons why we might continue to see a rise in inflation. But I think it's a really hard game to try to predict which way it's going to go definitively. There's a lot of very smart people that have been wrong about it. But what we're trying to do is more identify that there's lots of different components that are impacting the drivers here of inflation and deflation. So it's important to just kind of step back and look at it from that perspective.
By your measures, is what we're going through a classic inflationary shock?
Yeah, so what we did, when we went back and we looked at inflationary environments, what we said is the long-term inflation rate, right, the average inflation rate going back, you know, more than 100 years is around 3%. So when we're above that, we're in more of an inflationary shock period. So I think by definition, you know, when inflation's above 3%, we're identifying that as above its long-term average. Sure.
So then, how does somebody, being that we're in that kind of period, decide how much inflation protection they actually need?
Yeah, that's a great question. So how much inflation protection you need is very much customized based on your needs. We talk about that a little bit in the paper when we look at the liability side, right? And so we, at Verus, we deal with a lot of larger institutional clients, so defined benefit plans that have these defined liability streams going out. And, you know, I don't want to get into too much detail there, but they might have cost of living increases that increase with inflation. But you can delve into that to see, okay, well, what's my sensitivity to changes in inflation? For other investors, it might be, how much do you have to pay in terms of your rent or your mortgage, and how does that change through time? How do I expect the change in gas or food to impact my daily life? So there's lots of different things you would need to consider to try to understand exactly how much inflation protection you need. But I think that's kind of the route you would have to go, is really sit down and drill deep into what it is that you how tied are you to these changes in potential prices in your life.
And the moral of the story is going to be, stay diversified, even in times when right now it looks like you can't really necessarily benefit that much from certain types of fixed income or what have you. It still is a classic commercial for, if you want to beat back risk, you have to be diversified, right?
Yeah, I think that's completely right. And, you know, sometimes you put in a lot of work into doing all this different research, and it basically comes down to the same conclusion that diversification is key, right? So, you know, we actually looked at all these different markets. So we looked at commodities, and we looked at TIPS, and we looked at corporate bonds and treasuries and real estate and equities. Across the board, just looking at what are all these different vehicles or investment types that investors may choose, and then what's really best for these inflation environments. And, the simple takeaway is none of them always win, right? So, yeah, being diversified is kind of the only thing you can really do to protect yourself.
Danny, thanks so much for joining me on Money Life to talk about it.
Yeah, certainly appreciate the time today, Chuck. Thank you very much for having me.
That is Danny Sullivan. He's director for risk at Verus Investments. Verus, V-E-R-U-S. Why do you need to spell it? Verusinvestments.com to learn more about him and the firm. And to find the paper, Thinking About Inflation in Risk Terms. If you're thinking about Money Life, well, think about the fact that we'll be right back after a brief break.